This is WMAQ NBC in Chicago. Stay tuned now for Living 1948.
I am the resurrection and the life. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always.
Jesus has arisen, Jesus has arisen, Jesus has arisen and gone to Galilee.
At this season, when men and women of the Christian world recall the resurrection, Living 1948, brought to you each week by NBC and its affiliates, holds up the mirror of radio to reflect the God-given human impulse that finds expression in our lives through the Red Cross. With the help of the noted American folk singer Tom Glaser, we present our fifth drama document entitled, I Am With You Always. Your narrator, Ben Grauer.
It is fitting, friends, at this Easter season, that we seek to discover how the teachings of Jesus, who preached neighborliness, the brotherhood of man, are being practiced in a world called selfish, and by people who are said to live by the credo, every man for himself. We've chosen to do this through the Red Cross, simply because the Red Cross is you, millions upon millions of you, who have made it a custodian of your generosity. Therefore, at this season of the resurrection, let us see how you, working under a common banner, are, through the resurrection of towns and the salvaging of human life, keeping the Spirit of Christ through the Red Cross alive in this world.
It was in the mine at Cherry, where the minor lads had gone, and they were glad and cheerful, thoughts of danger they had none, till an accident had happened. You have heard of it, no doubt.
Few old-timers have not heard of the Cherry Mine disaster of 1909. We begin there, for there is where your Red Cross began its systematized plan for disaster relief that today finds you at the elbow of every catastrophe that may come the nation's way. Like most disasters, the Cherry Mine fire was reflected in the music of its day.
'Tis a sad and gruesome story of those miners burned alive when they were in their glory working down there in that hive. There were fathers, husbands, brothers.
In terms of events, the story of the Cherry Mine disaster is the story of a fire in a coal mine. In terms of people, the story of the Cherry Mine disaster is the story of Scotsman William H. Cleland, whom the events christened ever after Cherry Bill. We take you to join him with 21 others in the midst of that fiery tomb, just after they've been driven back by smoke and flames in their attempt to reach the escape shaft in a body.
What we do now, Bill? What we do?
Get back, Olaf. Back, all of you men. As far back into the mine as we can. It's oxygen we're wanting. Oxygen.
Back they go in their search for oxygen enough to sustain them. Back to a remote section of the mine. Meanwhile, up above, you know the picture. Mothers, wives, children gathered for that eternal wait. Volunteer rescuers returning soot-begrimed and empty-handed. As the fire still burns unquenched, for all the water poured upon it, an order is given.
Seal the mine! Yeah! Are you crazy, man? You can't close that mine. There are 200 men down there. Yeah. Not alive!
Can 200 men live in the furnace? We've got to choke that fire! Seal the mine!
No! No!
Down below, as the second day dawns with blackness, they don't know they're in a sealed tomb now. Suddenly...
Look out!
He's got to fall. Catch him.
Carl. He's fainted.
Aye. It must be the black damp. I thought I noticed my lamp flickering. Here. I got him at this end. Why don't you take his legs? That's it. Now. We've got to get farther back yet, lads. Back as far as we can.
Back even to the remotest section of the mine, they retreat before the invisible deadly gas. And as they reach there...
Men, we've got to cut ourselves off from that gas, or we won't be safe even here.
But how we do that, Bill?
Wall ourselves in. That's the only way I know. Build an airtight wall. Aye. Fall to it, men. Fall to it now.
Now they're in a tomb within a tomb, with nothing to eat, and a diminishing supply of water to drink.
Out with your lamps, men. We'll burn one at a time, and make them last as long as we can.
21 men, immigrants all, Slavs, Hungarians, Frenchmen, Italians, such men as have built America, plus a single Scotsman named William H. Cleland. One by one, the lamps burn out, until the last drop of oil is used and they are plunged into total darkness. Then, as the days drag by, the brave and the weak, the superstitious and the strong, come to know how lucky they are to have entombed with them Cherry Bill.
Keep up your hearts, lads. God is with us. Don't despair. Others have been shut off from the light of day as we have, and in God's good time come out alive. Oh, God in heaven, it isn't only for ourselves that we ask thy pity. We are but poor, sinful miners, we know that, but for our loved ones who will be lost without us.
Amen.
Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me above.
Dear wife, this is the fourth day we have been down here. I am writing in the dark because we have been eating the wax from our safety lamps. I hope you can read this. I am not afraid to die. O Holy Virgin, have mercy on me. You know what my...
Wife and children, I write these few lines to you, and I think it'll be for the last time. There seems no hope for us. Well, Lizzie, if I am found, take me to bury me in Streator and move back. Keep Esther and Clarence and Jimmy together as much as you can. I hope they will not forget their father.
Surely the Lord abided even in the depth of the Cherry Mine. For 1 week later, when the mine was again unsealed, a party led by Reverend James P. Henney, beloved pastor of St. Mary's Church, looking for the dead, were making their way through debris that was once a gallery.
Quiet, men. Listen. Glory be to God. Do you hear what I hear?
You're alive.
Yes.
They heard the men pounding on the wall and stood for a moment transfixed as they, too, were filled by the miracle of his presence.
How
Out of the Cherry Mine fire was born the effective system of Red Cross disaster relief, practiced today at every disaster, that takes its inspiration directly from the Bible itself.
Red Cross volunteers are trained in first aid to assist rescuers in their work.
Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend.
The hungry must be fed.
I was in hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink.
The homeless must be sheltered.
I was a stranger, and ye took me in.
The needy must be clothed.
Naked, and ye clothed me.
Yes, wherever nature or man-made things have plunged a people into crisis, the Spirit of Christ is there with the Red Cross.
Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. All men are brothers. This above all shall be true. Love is triumph.
Take in times of high water. High water is a cry that has probably echoed in the multi-languages of civilization since Noah. And always with it comes the dread of devastation, dislocation, disaster, and death. Here in our own nation, where spring brings, with its flowers, determined torrents born of the melting snow and relentless rains, we have never lost our fear of high water. Since a horseman's warning went unheeded, the famous Johnstown flood left its mark upon our music.
But the rider and his bay, they had scarcely turned away when a flood came crashing through our quiet town. Strong men battling for their lives, husbands struggling for their wives, infant children torn from loving mother's arms.
The havoc wrought by the Johnstown flood has been repeated in part, year in, year out. As a recent example, we give you Nebraska last year. Nebraska, where the names on the land read...
Red Willow, Frontier, Elkhorn, Turkey Creek, Nemaha, Weeping Water, Pawnee.
Even after the persistent rains of the first half of June, no one could have foretold what was to follow. But it was written in the skies.
There it goes again, Martha.
Seems like every time I set to plucking a chicken for Sunday dinner, it starts right up.
Well, leastways, tomorrow, being Sunday, we can sleep a little bit.
Not too long, though, Jess. I want you to get up early and help me get the children ready for church.
No rest for the weary.
And I want to iron that white shirt for you. I'm tired of seeing you go to church in that old frayed blue one. What'll the minister think?
Yes, tomorrow was Sunday in Cambridge, Nebraska. And throughout the lighted homes in that small farm town, folks were going about their normal Saturday night activities, just like the Pearsons. But 50 miles to the northwest, things were different.
Well?
Medicine Creek's up over at Banks, Mayor.
Darn. Guess we couldn't expect anything else with 10 inches of rain in a few hours.
Yeah.
Where is Les? I told him to report as soon as he learned.
Here he is now.
Oh.
There.
Yes.
A flash flood. Railway tracks washed clean away.
What?
You couldn't get out of here with a ferry boat. It's heading direct toward Cambridge.
Cambridge? Well, we got to get word through. Tell him what's coming.
Okay, I'll try.
If that flash flood hit Cambridge without them knowing, there's no telling how many people will be drowned.
That's right, Mayor.
Hello? Hello?
Here you are, Mayor.
This is the mayor. Emergency. Get me through to the mayor's office in Cambridge right away.
Sorry, Mayor.
What do you mean, sorry? This is a matter of life and death.
The lines to Cambridge are down.
And what were they doing in Cambridge?
Well, what say we turn in, Martha?
I'd say it was about time. Whoever it was wrote a woman's work's never done. Certainly told God's honest truth. Did you put out the cat?
I did.
Well, let's go to bed.
South and east now comes the water, raging down along the 40 miles to sleeping Cambridge, cut off from all knowledge of it. Cambridge, dreaming of Sunday school, perhaps a picnic, visiting. At 5:30 in the morning.
Martha! What is it, Jess?
High water. It's coming up the bank, spreading out over the farm.
Jess, the children.
You get them up. I'll get the car started. It'll be flooding our bottom land before it moves in on the town. We'll just have time to warn the neighbors. Oh, hurry, Martha, hurry!
Starting in their automobile, the Pearsons set out to rouse their neighbors. But soon they must abandon their car and run from house to house, hastening the news. The alarm spreads. Church bells, fire bells, auto horns break into a cacophony of warning. Unsung heroes include dogs whose barking wakes many people. But the flood comes with such speed and force that for some it is impossible to leave their homes. For others, trees become sanctuaries, rooftops, security. Children are saved by the grace of God alone, preserved by dint of a piece of driftwood. The hysterical die, many enveloped by water before they can rise from their beds. Homes wafted away, acres destroyed, merchandise ruined. Buildings, yards, streets, blanketed with mud and slime. And the Pearsons?
All gone. Everything we had. Everything we worked for. Gone.
In the Red Cross files, amid the record of its service to the people and town of Cambridge, you'll find, among hundreds of other cases that reflect this disaster and that are testament to your generosity,
case number D-47.
D-47 are the Pearsons.
For moving and renovating home, $500. For food and clothing, $75. For 5 calves, for a bed and furniture, dishes, utensils, $150.
This is not a loan. This is an outright award of help from the Red Cross to give a good man a chance to make a new start.
Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. All men are brothers. This above all shall be true. Love is triumphant.
Moving on to another type of disaster where the Red Cross comes quickly to our side, we give you the sound of the crack passenger train, the Red Arrow, en route from Detroit to New York just a year ago last month. Like the old 97, the Red Arrow was running late. Remember the great old song about the old 97?
He was handed up his orders at Monroe, Virginia, saying, Steve, you're way behind time. This is not 36, but old 97, you must get her in to Spencer on time. He was coming round a turn, doing 90 miles an hour, when his whistle began to scream. He was found in the back with his hand on the throttle. He was scalded to death by the storm.
The Red Arrow, too, was rounding a curve. A curve since straightened just outside of Altoona, Pennsylvania. All was serene and quiet in its 8 sleepers and 2 coaches when the train passed through the Gallitzin Tunnel and started to round Bennington Curve. Then... a routine trip became...
24 dead, 108 injured. Train wreck. Allegheny Mountainside.
Maybe you read it in your paper, but then you'd read 100 headlines like that. It's always somewhere far away, isn't it? Always happening to somebody else. Just this once, let's go behind the headlines. Let's meet the people it concerns. Indeed, let's get on the train itself.
Just think, John, dear, in a few hours we'll see our granddaughter.
I wonder if she looks like you or me, Sally.
Oh, I just can't wait to find out.
Spaulding's my name. Hank Spaulding. If you ever get to Montana, you know where to find me. Never would come east if my daughter wasn't flat on her back with 2 kids.
Look, Han. Look what I wrote with my finger on the window.
Tom loves Mary. Oh, you silly. Now, brush that rice off your shoulder. We don't want everybody to know.
Why not? I'm proud of it. Hey, folks, I want...
Conductor? Conductor?
Yes, ma'am?
I need to wire ahead to a sister of mine to meet me. She worries so about me. What time are we due in Altoona, please?
Altoona, 2:44, ma'am.
The Red Arrow never got to Altoona. Some of the passengers who went to sleep that night never woke up. Folks, no different than you or I, looking forward to homes and loved ones, never saw either again. For what was once a cracked train was now a hideously upended coffin.
Hey, there's two more trapped in here. Somebody give me a hand.
Okay, coming.
Remember to come along with
somebody. Look after that woman.
Let the stretcher bearers through, please.
Yes, the Red Cross was there, too. The human impulse of neighborliness again at work, as it was at the Texas City explosion, at the Maine forest fire, at the Woodward, Oklahoma tornado, at the Centralia, Illinois mine disaster, at the Florida and Gulf Coast hurricanes, as it will be this spring, when the Midwest floods take their annual harvest of human life. Indeed, as it always is, all over the world, carrying to people's hearts that message of Christ, which speaks of universal brotherhood.
Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. All men are brothers. This above all shall be true. Love is triumphant. Hate must be banished, and then the peace we have longed for shall come to all men.
Easter, then, is a good time to remember his words.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
Jesus then ascended, Jesus then ascended, Jesus then ascended up to his Father's throne, to his Father's throne, to his Father's throne. Jesus then ascended up to his Father's throne.
Living 1948 is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC public affairs staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold, with scripts written by Lou Hazem, technical advice by Jane Tiffany Wagner. Songs were arranged and sung by the noted American folk singer Tom Glaser. Music conducted by Milton Catum. Your narrator was Ben Grauer, and the program was directed by James Harvey. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1948 by joining us next week when we'll present a drama document suggested by Army Day, a dramatization of General Eisenhower's answer to the question of our security, entitled
Report from a Gentleman in Mufti.
program came to you from our Radio City studios in New York. Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.